Esther chapter 3. Now, sometime later, the king, Xerxes, decided to promote a man called Haman to become the prime minister. Now, Haman was the son of Hammedatha, a descendant of Agag, who was one of the enemies of Israel in the past. So the king ordered all the officers in his service to show special respect for Haman by kneeling and bowing down to him. They all did so, apart from Mordecai, who refused to do so. Now, we said that Mordecai was named after Marduk, one of the gods of Persia and Babylon. So he wasn't very spiritually strong, but in this matter, he refuses to bow down, because the Jews felt they could only bow down to Yahweh their God and not to any man. So it's a bit funny that this man, Mordecai, was rather weak spiritually, but in this matter he shows himself strong. But you wonder whether, in fact, he was just cranky and just didn't like Haman, and so he used his religion as an excuse to justify his cranky feelings. And you do meet people like that. Unfortunately, we're going to make sure that we're not like that. So all the other officers asked Mordecai why he was disobeying the king's command day after day. They encouraged him to give in, but he refused to listen to them. "I'm a Jew," he explained, "and I cannot therefore bow down to Haman." So they told Haman about this, and they wondered whether Haman was going to allow Mordecai to just refuse to bow down. And when Haman learned that Mordecai was a Jew, he decided to do far more than just punish only Mordecai. He made a plan to destroy every Jew in the whole Persian Empire. So in the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of Nisan, Haman ordered that lots should be cast, and they called this Purim, and the Jews keep the Feast of Purim to this day, because he wanted to know the right day and month to carry out his wicked plot. And the lots came out on the 13th day of the month of Adar, which was the 12th month. So this actually gave him about a year to plan his evil. But of course, God overruled all that. There's a proverb that says man might cast lots, but the hand of God is in all of it. And so the fact there was a long time to prepare also meant that the people of God could prepare themselves. So Haman came to the king. He said, "There is a race of people who are throughout your empire and found in every province." And that, by the way, was an indication that the prophecies of God about the scattering of the Jews had come true. They were scattered throughout every province of the Persian Empire. So Haman goes on, "and they observe laws that are unlike any other people's laws. They also refuse to obey the laws of our empire, so it's not in your best interests to allow them. So, Your Majesty, if it's pleasing to you, please issue a decree that they are to be put to death. And if you do, I promise that I'll give you about 340,000 kilograms of silver." It's a huge amount. "And this will be given for the work of the empire into the royal treasury." Now, where did Haman have all that money from? Either he had been stealing money out of the empire, or he was thinking that that was how much money he would get from the Jews if he killed them all. What that shows is that the Jews at this time were fairly wealthy. And unfortunately, that's why they wanted to stay in Babylon, because if they had left Babylon when the prophets had said, "flee from Babylon," well, they wouldn't have gone through all the suffering they were now to go through. So they didn't stay very long sitting by the rivers of Babylon, under the willows, lamenting that we're being mocked and how should we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land. They, like Mordecai, got on and got pretty prosperous and got pretty wealthy. And that was the trouble. As soon as you get wealthy and comfortable, you don't want to hear God's call. So the king took off his ring And they used to use the ring to stamp special laws to make them legal. And he gave it to Haman, the enemy of the Jews. The king told Haman, "The people and their money you can keep. Just do with them as you wish." So on the 13th day of the first month, Haman called all the secretaries together and told them to write down this special proclamation and law and to translate it into every language that was used throughout the empire and to be sent to all the local rulers and governors. It was issued in the name of Xerxes and stamped with the king's ring. Runners took this law into every province of the empire. And the law stated that on a single day, this 13th day of Adar, all the Jews, including young and old, women and children, must be killed. They were to be killed without mercy, and all their belongings were to be taken from them. They made this law public in every province so that everybody knew what was going to happen. So at the king's command, this decree was published in the city of Susa, and the runners carried the proclamation throughout the empire. The king and Haman sat down and drank together, but the city of Susa was totally confused, because there were people like Mordecai, who was a Jew, who were working in the government, and all of them were going to be killed. So it might have seemed that this was the worst possible situation. And yet we're going to see how God worked through this young girl, really, Esther. Because in those days, girls got married pretty young while they were still teenagers. So she was probably still a teenager. He worked through a young, nervous, not very spiritually strong teenager to save all his people. And it's a wonderful story, and it really does show how the hand of God works.